Not and that. Good.
Om Sahana Vavatu, Sahanao Bhunaktu, Sahavidyan Karavavahai, Tejasvinavadhitamastu Ma Vidvisha Vahaihi. Om Shanti Shanti Shantihi Chaitanyam Sarvagam Sarvam Sarvabhuta Guhashayam Yat Sarva Vishayatitam Tasmai Sarvavide Namaha. Om.
Good. Welcome to you all. Welcome also to the students attending this class online. We continue with our study of chapter 18, and the topic continues to be Pratibimba Vara. And in particular today, with regard to at least the first two verses, with regard to ahankara, how to understand ego, ahankara, sense of individuality, through the lens, so to speak, of pratibimbavada, according to pratibimbavada. Let me get the slides up. There they are. Next one. Okay. And this section begins with a very brief objection.
Abhase pratinamaschen, abhase parinamaschen, narajwari nibhanavata, narajwari nibhanavata.
Right? Nibhana tvavat, sorry.
Rajwari. Rajwadi. No, Raj.
It's right here. You'd think I can read it.
No, Rajwadi Nibhana Tvavata. No, Rajwadi.
I don't know what's wrong with my brain here.
Sarpade shatata vocham, sarpade shatata vocham, adarshe chamukha tvavata, adarshe chamukha tvavata.
So the Purvapakshi, the objector, says very briefly here,
abhase, with regard to the abhasa, the reflection of consciousness in your mind, which means simply what you're experiencing right now, which in our drishtanta, our metaphor, is like the mirror reflected. Oh, sorry, the face reflected in a mirror. There is pratinamaha chet. Chet, if, and this is
Let's see if I can get going here this morning. A little bit of dizziness.
Chet, the objector, says, if there is parinamaha, change. If there is change, abhase, in the reflection.
Now, that's all you say. You know, Shankara only gives him three words for his objection, so we have to fill in the context.
And the context is, in Advaita Vedanta, we constantly say consciousness is unchanging. Unchanging consciousness.
Consciousness which is a parinama. But then our experience is constantly changing. Right now, whatever you're experiencing is constantly changing. And then we come along and say that consciousness doesn't change. So there seems to be a big gap between experience and what Vedanta teaches. So how do we address that? The fact that if consciousness, let me add one more bit here, if consciousness is unchanging and your experience is a reflection of that unchanging consciousness, then how can it be that consciousness is truly unchanging, since our day-to-day experience seems to contradict it? Shankara says, in his typical style, is a one-word answer followed by a more elaborate answer. His one-word answer is, no. That's enough. But then he continues. He says, why? Rajwari nibbana tvavat raja sarpa dehecha. He says, let's see. He says that the reflection in your mind is nibbanatvavat. It has similarity to rajvadi, a rope, etc., sarpa dehecha, which appears as a snake. So this is our typical example, the rope appearing as a snake, and that metaphor is used in several ways, but the basic way is to say that rope is real, snake is unreal. Does a snake have any, can that snake bite you? Can you grab that snake? Can you take interesting, they didn't have cameras back in Shankara's time. Could you, suppose you want to take a picture, everyone has their phones, so take a picture of the snake, and then you see, hey, there's no snake. So we use this example again and again to talk about that which is unreal, that which appears but is unreal. And Shankara says here, in very briefly, he says that the reflection of consciousness in your mind is like the rope snake. Now, what does that mean? You know, think of it. That's a fairly complex comparison. In what sense is the reflection of consciousness in your mind right now, in what sense is it like the rope snake? The rope snake, when you get it, the rope goes away. That suggests that when you get it, in a Vedantic sense, this experience goes away. Does that sound like a problem? An enlightened person is unable to have an experience. Once you get it, there's no rope at all. I'm in good shape. All right. And then bear with me. We'll see if we can continue. When you get it, there's no snake at all. That seems to imply that when you're enlightened, there's no experience at all. But if that's true, how can an enlightened person talk to you? How can an enlightened person eat anything if they have no experience whatsoever? So we have to, this is one of the challenges of sophisticated texts like Upadesha Sahasri, which is not an introductory text. Shankara assumes that you studied this a lot, and therefore he can be very brief in what he says. So we have to put the context back in. I gave you the context in the introduction, ahankara. So instead of looking at the reflection of consciousness in general, let's focus just on ahankara, because that's what Shankara's intent is here. He doesn't mention it because he assumes you'll figure it out eventually. So look at this. The ahankara, not the reflection in general, but the ahankara, remember our definition of ahankara is the feeling that I am an individual person sitting here now, that feeling. That ahankara is present in your experience or not? Of course it's present. You're sitting here now. I'm sitting here now. So for you and me, that ahankara is, can we say, part of our experience? And that's, an accurate way of talking about it. Oh, we'll get into that in more detail in the next verse. So let's call the ahankara part of the experience. This is a very complicated experience, right? You're seeing me. You can look around a room. There's a lot of things going on in this experience. One element of this complex experience is a feeling I am an individual conscious being who is here now. Okay, we'll leave that as a definition of ahankara. So when, and that, by the way, one further point, is that individual conscious being who is sitting here now is I. I am an individual conscious person sitting here now. How is it for an enlightened person? This is subtle. We've talked of, and we've had this, we've discussed this in great detail, what Puja Swami Dayananda called an enlightened ahankara. And that is this. It can't be the case that an enlightened person has no ahankara whatsoever, because if you don't feel like I am here, isn't that kind of like a basic, if I am nowhere, can I teach? I'm just hinting at what it is. So it's not the absence of ahankara. When you get it that there's no rope, is there nothing there? No, there's something remains. I did it again. When you get it that there's no snake, is there nothing there? There is something remains. Snake. Okay, we'll give this a few more. I have to warn you. We'll give this a few more minutes. If I continue to struggle, maybe we'll wait till next week for this class. But I think I can. Hope I can get going here. All right. When you get it that there's no snake. Yeah. This is ridiculous. Okay. When you get it that there's no snake, all that. But it's not that the rope disappears. The rope is there. So, when the enlightened person recognizes that this mental event that says, I am an individual conscious being who is here now, when the enlightened person gets it, that, wait a minute, that's not me. I am the consciousness by which this sense of individuality is known. I'll say that again. This is a key right here. I am the consciousness by which even that feeling of being an individual being is known. With this recognition, that so-called I thought loses its I-ness and becomes like any other mental activity. It's just more mental stuff among all the stuff. It's just one more feature of the face being reflected in the mirror. So think about the face reflected in a mirror represents your complex experience. There are many features on a face. There are eyes, there's a nose, there's a mouth. Well, one of the features of your experience is that feeling of individuality. Let's say that's equivalent to the nose. Why nose? No particular reason at all. You could say, well, it's represented by the eye, but then you got two eyes and that's more confusion. So we did that. We used that metaphor last time. We won't use it today. So nose. The nose is part of that face you see in the mirror. And the face you see in the mirror is false in the sense that it's not this one that's attached to your face. So the ahankara is represented by that nose. That nose is part of the face in the mirror. The face in the mirror represents your experience. The face in the mirror is not the same as the face on your head and your experience, including the ahankara, is not the same as the consciousness which you are. So this is Advaita Vedanta very carefully discerning the difference between pure consciousness and reflected consciousness, experience. Consciousness and experience. Commonly, who would even dream of trying to separate that? If you know nothing about Vedanta, how would you even imagine that there are two different things going on here? But Vedanta very carefully and thoroughly, like a surgeon, a neurosurgeon with that scalpel, trying to discern what is tumor and what is brain, very carefully cuts out that tumor. Takes great skill to do that, and that is the skill employed by Shankara here, discerning the difference between consciousness and experience. So continuing, tata, so in this way, avocham, we said before, this is back, I wrote down here, verse 63, we won't go back there, we said, adarshe cha mukhatvavat, we said previously that adarshe mukhatvavat, it's reflected consciousness, again, we have to add all the words here. Reflected consciousness is mukhatvavat, like the face, adarshe, in the mirror. So, reflected consciousness is like the face in the mirror. It is not the real face. Now, and this is meant to then address the Purvapakshi here. Purvapakshi says your experience is constantly changing. Set this up properly. Consciousness is manifest as your experience, which is constantly changing. So how can you say that consciousness is unchanging? And the answer is, it's not the real consciousness. It's reflected consciousness. Consciousness doesn't change, the reflection changes. Of course, that goes back to the fundamentals of our metaphor. If you take that mirror and jiggle it, your face jiggles. So this is the basis for this metaphor. So let us proceed. This topic, by the way, Shankara finds a problem here, a problem called anyonyashraya, in English, mutual dependence. It's a logical problem, and he goes into it for about 10 verses. It's very, to use a modern English word, gnarly. How's that? it's difficult, and I think it's unnecessary. So for both of these reasons, we'll just skip that part, and you'll see how the verse that follows that his gnarly explanation of anyonyashraya, he picks up the thread, and the next verse will actually connect very well here and be helpful for us. So we will skip ahead and continue.
Yara bhasena samvyaptaha. Yada bhasena samvyaptaha sagnyate ti nigadyate sagnyate ti nigadyate trayame tat vivichyatra trayame tat vivichyatra yojanati sahatmavit sajanati sahatmavit.
Start in the second line. Sahagnyata iti nigadyate. Jnata is knower, an agent noun. So it's a, let's be a little bit more specific about ahankara. Previously I said the sense that I am an individual being. Well, right now you have that sense of individual being, and right now you're listening to me. So therefore you can say that you are a shrota, a listener, a hearer. If you think about what I'm saying, means you're not listening to me, I suppose. If you think about what I'm saying, you are a jnata. If after we finish this class, you go get a cup of tea, you are a bhokta, an enjoyer. So like this, we say that ahankara is sense of individuality in general, but it takes on many roles. And here we're talking about the role of jnata, the role of knower. And that's what he says here, saha jnata. That knower, nigadyate, is said to be what? In the first line he says, yat abhasena vyaptaha. That knower is some vyapta, pervaded, completely pervaded, ya abhasena, yat abhasena, by that reflected consciousness. Again, language gets complicated here, so we have to put it in the context of our experience and the metaphor. In fact, I already gave this one. So when we say that the knower is pervaded by the reflection, that's when you look in the mirror, is your nose part of the reflection? That's kind of what Shankara is saying here. Not your reflected face pervades the reflected nose. How's that? This is Shankara's language. It's very technical. And to make it less technical and very simple, your nose is part of the reflected face. Well, that's all it is. And which is what we said before, your ahankara is part of reflected consciousness. Your ahankara is part of the experience you're having right now. That's not so complex. The experience is complex. In this complex experience, there are many features. Just like in your face, there are many features. One of those features, nose, in the reflected face. One of the features of this experience right now is ahankara in general, jnata in particular. Got it? This is, Shankara is being a little bit fussy right now. So, now, trayam etat vivitya atra. Atra. Here, with regard to jnata, with regard to the knower, trayam etat vivitya, vivitya, discerning. Trayam etat, etat trayam, these three. How? Shankara is being as terse as he can here. What three are we talking about? But he presumes you'll figure it out. Either you'll figure it out eventually, or you'll find someone who can explain it to you. So trayam means, if you're talking about jnata, knower, that suggests known and knowledge. These three come as a package. You have knower, jnata, you have known, jnayam, and you have knowledge, jnata, which very nicely is shown here in parentheses. So I am taking the role of Shankara's commentator. So these are the three implied by Shankara's use of the word jnata. So jnata, knower, jnaya, known, and jnana. Here jnana in the sense of the jnana vritti, the knowledge. And he says, with regard to these three, yaha janati, one who knows the three, jnata, jnaya, and jnanam. That one, saha atmavit, that person gets it. Atmavit. That person, atmavit means enlightened. Saha, he is enlightened who recognizes that saha yaha janati, the one who knows, let me put it in first person, I am enlightened if I know that I am the knower of the knower, known and knowledge. And I'm kind of duplicating that word intentionally to make a point. This jnata, jnana, and jnaya are part of your experience. Your experience is out there, metaphorically speaking. The mirror is out there. The face in the mirror is out there. Who knows the face in the mirror is back on this side. In the same way, your experience, which includes jnata, knower, your experience, which includes the knower, is known. Correct? Not in the same way. The jnata knows by means of thoughts. You know because you are sakshi, awareful witness. You are the consciousness by which all mental activities are revealed. You are the consciousness by which the jnata pops up in your mind. Jnanam, knowledge, pops up in your mind. Jnayam, the object known, pops up in your mind. Right now you're looking at me. So take in this case, right now you're looking at me, so there is a knower of me, there is me, and there is the knowledge of me. Swami is sitting in the chair. So these three arise in your mind, and you know they have arisen in your mind. Because you are Sakshi Chaitanya, consciousness as the revealer of all mental activities. Yaha janati sa atmavit. This is the final discernment. The final part of this, you know, in Advaita Vedanta, we often begin, in fact, decades ago, Pujya Swami Dayananda would sometimes start his classes or a lecture, a public lecture, with this discernment between subject and object. You know, I am not a chair. You know, and boy, it takes a long time to go from I am not a chair to Satchit I am Satchit Ananda Atma. But he starts like that. The penultimate, so you, I'm not a chair, then later, I'm not my body. I'm not my mind, I'm not my senses, I'm not my prana. So there are so many steps. What is the penultimate step? I am not this chair is obviously not the... You can't go from I am not a chair to I am Satchitananda Atma. So there are a lot of steps. So I'm not the chair, I'm not the body, not my mind, I'm not this, I'm not that, I'm not this, I'm not that. What is the penultimate step? I am not the knower, jnata, is the penultimate step. Because everything, watch why. I know the chair, therefore I'm not a chair. I know the body, therefore I'm not the body. I know my thoughts, therefore I know I'm not my thoughts. I know what I see and hear, therefore I'm not my senses. I know this, therefore I'm not that. I know this, therefore I'm not that, leading to the penultimate state. I know the knower. The ahankara, which is a vritti manifest in my mind, therefore I am not that
ahankara. I am not that sense of individuality. I am not that mental activity with that threefold form. What is the threefold form? Knower, known, instrument. Jñāta, jñeya, and jñāna. Do you see why I wanted to skip those 10 verses on anyonyāśraya? This verse fits so well with the prior verse. It's when a skillful teacher, not me, but when a skillful teacher goes off on a detour, they come right back. And that's what Shankara has done here very skillfully. Then, continuing. Yes. And the topic continues in this verse. Samyak samshaya mityoktaha Samyak samshaya mityoktaha Pratyaya vyavicharinaha Pratyaya vyavicharinaha Ekaiva vagatisteshu Ekaiva vagatisteshu Bhedastu pratyayarpitaha Bhedastu pratyaharpitaha. In the second line, pratyayaha, thoughts. And here our context is that etatrayam, the three that Shankara was talking about in the prior verse, he's talking about one kind of pratyaya. Is pratyaya means mental activity. One kind is jñāta, knower, ahankara, as in the role of knower. Another is jñeya, a mental activity of that in the form of that which is known. In this case, it would be like the image of Swami Tadatmananda in your mind. And the third is jñānam. I know that happens to be Swami Tadatmananda. So these three. So these are three pratyayaha. Now let's focus on one of the three, and that is jñānam, knowledge. Now notice that this knowledge we're talking about is in the form of a thought that connects knower and known. You are the knower, pratyaya, I'm sorry, that jñāta and jñeyam, knower and known, are connected by jñānam, knowledge. But this is knowledge in the form of a thought. And here, before we see this verse, we have to know that we have to return to the principle that words have different meanings in different contexts. It turns out there are different kinds of jñānam, knowledge. So what one kind of knowledge is called vṛttijñānam. Here I have viṣayajñānam is better. Viṣayajñānam, knowledge in the form of an object. So when you see Swami Tadatmananda, that's an example of viṣayajñānam. Also vṛttijñānam, knowledge in the form of vṛtti, knowledge in the form of the object. But we also use jñānam as in satyam jñānam anantam brahma. In the Taittiriya Upanishad. That's obviously not the same kind of jñānam. So that is knowledge as such. And the word we use for knowledge as such, which means consciousness. Knowledge as such, the essence of what knowledge is consciousness. Satyam jñānam anantam brahma. So we call that svarupa jñānam to distinguish. So there is viṣaya-jñānam, knowledge of objects, and there is svarupa-jñānam, knowledge as such, which means consciousness. So we begin with this differentiation, and then we go to a next level of differentiation. So if we have knowledge up here, first, I should put this on the board. I'm not going to. I'm having such a hard time today. I'll probably fall over between here and the board, so that... I think it's not necessary. I can just kind of give it diagrammatically like this. You have to imagine jñānam followed, and I'm going to try to do it backwards for you. Knowledge, because left to right is reversed for us. Jnanam can be subdivided as Vishayajnanam and Swarupajnanam. So you can write the diagram. I don't need to draw it for you. Jnanam can be subdivided. Can you follow that? Jnanam can be subdivided into Vishayajnanam and Swarupajnanam. Now, Vishayajnanam can be subdivided into several. Three, can be separated into Samyak Vishayajnanam, correct knowledge, or Samshaya Jnanam, doubtful knowledge, or Mithya Jnanam, false knowledge. Uktaha, these three are said. These are three kinds of pratyaya, in particular, three kinds of vritti jnanam, three kinds of vishaya jnanam, a jnana vritti, a thought in the form of jnanam in your mind, can be samyak, it can be correct, it can be samshaya, it can be doubtful, it can be mithya, false. You have a thought, Swami Taratmananda is sitting here, that is samyak jnanam. Swami Taratma's mind is also here. That is today. we'll call that Samshaya Jnanam. And if what can I say? And if you think there's an elephant sitting in this chair, that is Mithya Jnanam. Okay. These are three kinds of knowledge. And all of these are vyabhacharinaha. They go on changing. And please remember, our understanding of real satyam in Advaita Vedanta is that which doesn't change. That which has parinama or vyabhichara, they both mean change, alternation. That which changes, by definition, is not an absolute reality. Absolute reality for us is that which doesn't change. So there are different kinds of knowledge. Excuse me. Different kinds of knowledge, which all go on changing, and therefore are not a fundamental reality, but there is a fundamental reality. It is eka eva avagatihi. Avagati here. Avagati can mean grasping something, but here, contextually, it means consciousness. It has other meanings elsewhere. Here it means consciousness, and you know that very clearly. Shankara says, eka eva avagatihi. There is one unchanging consciousness. Teshu, with regard to those three kinds of knowledge, samyak, samshaya, and mithya, with regard to those three kinds of changing consciousness, there is eka eva avagatihi, there is one and only one consciousness, which is Swarupajnanam, to go back to our diagram. And bhedaha too, but bhedaha, the differences are pratyaya arpitaha, due to the superimposition of thoughts, due to the presence of thoughts. What it means is going back to our diagram. So remember the first division of jnanam was between vishaya jnanam and swarupa jnanam. Swarupa jnanam is eka eva avagatihi. It is one unchanging consciousness.
But then how do we explain this Vishayajnanam, which is always changing and has divisions like correct knowledge, doubtful knowledge, and false knowledge? He says that bheda, that difference, the difference found not in Swarupajnanam, the difference found in Vishayajnanam, is that bheda is pratyaya arpitaha, due to the presence of mental activities, summarizing what he's already said. So just to go back to our mirror metaphor, these three kinds of knowledge, would you see the face? You can see the face correctly? Samyak jnanam. How about the mirror is very dirty? Is that me or not? Samshag jnanam. Suppose, have you ever seen these magnifying mirrors? And if you hold it too far away from your face, you're upside down. Mityajnanam. So depending on the mirror can give you an accurate reflection and an inaccurate reflection or a completely inverted reflection. These differences are completely separate from this phase. So the differences belong to the reflection in the mirror, which, as Shankara said before, is false, and this face, the one stuck on your head, represents unchanging consciousness, which is satyam. It is a fundamental reality because it is unchanging. Okay, we'll see just one more verse, which actually concludes this topic. Oh. Adhi bhedad yatha bhedo, adhi bhedad yatha bhedo, manir havagate stata, manir havagate stata, ashuddhi parinamascha, ashuddhi parinamascha, sarvam pratyaya samshrayat, sarvam sam. Jaya samshrayata. So in one verse, Shankara opens up a door to weeks of discussion, which we're not going to get into, and I'll show you why. So far, we've been talking about pratibimba vada, one metaphor to describe the relationship between mind and consciousness. And we said, it is a metaphor, the mind isn't shiny, the mind doesn't really reflect, but to help us understand the relationship, we frequently used this metaphor called pratibimba vada, the mirror metaphor. And again, let me stress, it is a metaphor, which means there is no such thing as reflected consciousness. Oh, I mean it. It's a metaphor. There's no such thing as reflected consciousness. There is such a thing as experience. How do we understand that experience? Well, according to this metaphor, we understand it as reflected consciousness. But there is no such thing as reflected consciousness. Understand what a metaphor means. Okay, and you do understand clearly. So here, very surprising, at least for me, surprisingly, Shankara introduces another of the three main metaphors we use, which is abhasa vada. And then there's a third, which he doesn't mention, but I'm going to mention these very briefly just to give you the big picture. Abhasavada, instead of using a mirror metaphor, uses a crystal metaphor. And Abhasavada says that the appearance of orangeness in this clear crystal is due to the fact of its proximity to this cloth. In the same way, the appearance of orangeness means the appearance of thoughts. Occurs in your consciousness, represented by the clear crystal, because of its proximity to the orange cloth. Cloth is mind, orangeness is thoughts. So it's a very complete and very powerful metaphor, which we're not going to discuss here at all, because Shankara just makes a passing reference to it. By the way, I'm thinking about doing a video on these three, so we'll see in the coming weeks and months if I don't give a video. It's an important topic, but it's rather technical, and we're not going to get into all the details. Shankara doesn't. So he just mentions this Abhasavada in passing, and he doesn't even mention the third, which arguably is the most accurate. He doesn't mention it here. Called Avacheda-vada. Avacheda means limitation, and that metaphor, by the way, it's no surprise that on this table we have these two objects, because these are our standard metaphors. We don't have a mirror. I brought a mirror on one class, you remember that. Okay. So here is the third metaphor. Shankara doesn't even mention it here, and this is not the time and place to discuss it. The metaphor is this. This pot is clay with a form superimposed on it. Ultimately, this is only... I'm back to this rope snake thing. I'm getting things backwards. Sorry. This is clay, nothing but clay, with a form superimposed on it. This is clay with a form superimposed on it. Notice, we're not talking about who and how the form was superimposed. We can figure it out, I suppose. We know there must have been someone who made this pot. But that's not our concern. Does it make any difference right now? Who and how this pot was made? We don't care. All we know is it's not pot. It's clay with a form superimposed on it. In the same way, clay represents consciousness. Pot represents experience. Consciousness with the form of your thoughts superimposed on it is experience. This is another way of explaining experience and the relationship between consciousness and mind. We can say that the content of this pot is clay. We can say the content of your thoughts, and therefore the content of this experience, is nothing but consciousness. Okay. These are important topics, and I find them particularly fascinating topics, but this is not the time and place to discuss this, because Shankara doesn't discuss it, and that's our class is discussing this text. So, putting that aside then, he does, however, just mention this Abhasavada in passing. Let's see that. He says, yatha bhedaha, just as there is a bheda, a difference, with regard to manehe, there is a difference when manehe avagatehe, a difference for money. Money means jewel or gem, and we use it for crystal. So there is a difference for a crystal, which is avagati, which with your perception of a crystal. There's a difference. Right now it looks orange. Right now, let's see, it looks I'm looking at the screen. I'm trying to get something that shows. Ah, here we go. So right now it looks orange. Right now it looks... Look at that difference between that and that. Huge difference in the appearance. Does a crystal change? Not even a bit. Does this orangeness taint the crystal even a little bit? Not a bit. You can see why this is such a powerful metaphor. So here, Shankara says that these Bhedas, the differences that appear in your experience are present because adhi bhedat, due to the difference of adhi means location. So when different kinds of thoughts are located in your mind, experience is different. So this is a half verse explanation of Abhasavada. It requires many discussions, so we're not going to go further into it. Although how many times you've seen that Abhasavada, you understand it well because we've used it many times in classes. We've even used it earlier to explain certain portions of this text. So here Shankara gives the after, he's pretty much now concluding Pratibimbavada, and then he's given us an example, a half verse example of Abhasavada, and he's giving us zero verses on Avachedavada. But he wants to show here that any kind of ashuddhihi, impurity, or parinamaha, or change, sarvam, all of that is pratyaya samshrayat. All of it is due to the presence of thoughts. So when staying with his current metaphor, when orangeness is present, the crystal appears orange. When whatever redness is present, the crystal appears red or dark in this case. So in the same way, I get the example I've given so many times. Orangeness belongs to the cloth. Sadness, I've used this exact example, so you'll recognize it. Orangeness belongs to the cloth. Sadness belongs to your mind. When the orange cloth is in the presence of the clear crystal, it feels like your consciousness has become sad. But in this metaphor, how obvious it is that orangeness belongs to the cloth. Orangeness hasn't affected the crystal one iota. In the same way, when sadness is present in your mind, that sadness doesn't affect consciousness at all. So this is the power of this metaphor. That's what he says, is that all of the any kind of ashuddhi, sadness would be ashuddhi. Sadness is also parinama, change of state. You were happy before, and now you're sad. Shankara says, all of this is pratyaya samshrayat, due to the presence of different kinds of mental activities. Pratyaya or vritti, you can use either word. Due to the condition of your mind, consciousness appears differently. That is the basis of this Abhasavada. Shankara hasn't mentioned anything about Avachedavada, which is why we're going to end this discussion here. And with this discussion, I just looked ahead for a while, I think this finally, this discussion about Pratibimbavada comes to an end. And he's gone on for
several dozens of verses, I think, using it in very, very powerful metaphor. This will be a good place to conclude today's class. We begin the next topic next week. Om sarve bhavantu sukhinah, sarve santu niramayah, sarve bhadrani pashyantu, ma kashchid dukha bhag bhavet, asato ma sadgamaya, tamaso ma jyotirgamaya, mrityorma amritangamaya. Om shanti 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 om. Tat sat. Very good.